You are listening to a Triple Canopy podcast. To hear more, visit www.canopycanopycanopy.com.
Two brass bands. No subsequent music has ever had such an inhuman, brazen quality as that played by the military band, which tempered the flow of people along Scandal Lane between the cafe restaurants of the zoo. Today I understand what made for the violence of that flow. For the Berliner, there was no more advanced school of love than this one. Surrounded as it was by the sandy domain of the gnus and zebras, the bare trees and ledges where the vultures and the condors nested, the stinking cages of the wolves, and the breeding places of the pelicans and herons. The calls and screeches of these animals mingled with the tattoo of drums and percussion. This was the atmosphere in which, for the first time, the gaze of the boy sought to fasten on a girl passing by, while he dwelt the more warmly on some point in conversation with his friend. And so strenuous were his efforts not to betray himself by either intonation or look, that he saw nothing of the passerby. Much earlier he had known the music of another brass band, and how different the two were. This one, which floated sultry and alluring, beneath the rooftop of leaves and canvas tenting, and that older one which rang bright and metallic in the frigid air. It came from Rousseau Island and inspired the loops and bows of the skaters on New Lake. I was of their number long before I came to dream of the origin of this island's name, not to say nothing of the difficulties of spelling it. The location of the skating rink, and even more its life through the seasons, kept it from being like any other. For what did summer make of the rest? Tennis courts? Yet here, under the long, overhanging branches of the trees on its banks, stretched the very same lake that, enclosed in a frame, awaited me in my grandmother's darkened dining room. For in those days it was often painted with its labyrinths of streams, and now one glided to the strains of a Viennese waltz beneath the very bridges on whose parapet one leaned in summer to watch the lazy passage of boats over the dark water. There were tortuous paths in the vicinity, and above all, remote asylums, benches reserved for adults. These formed a circle of lookout posts within which young children played in sandboxes, digging and turning up the sand, or else standing lost in thought, until bumped by another child or roused by a call from the nursemaid, who, sitting on the bench behind a stroller, perused her three-penny novel and, almost without raising her eyes, kept the youngster in tow. So much for those banks. Nevertheless, the lake lives on for me in the awkward cadence of feet weighed down by skates, when after a run over the ice, they would feel anew the wooden planks beneath them and enter, clattering, the hut in which the cast iron stove was glowing. Nearby was the bench where we gorged the load on our feet once again before deciding to unbuckle, when one leg then rested aslant on the other knee and the skate slipped off. It was as though our heels had sprouted wings. From the island, music accompanied me part of the way home.